This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. The Bloomington City Council has made some big spending decisions on streets and sidewalk repairs, plus a controversial change to where alcohol can be sold in Bloomington. You'll hear about all of that and more in Ryan Denham's conversation with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal stopped by GLT's Sound Ideas following their regular and special council meetings. Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Ryan. It's great to be here.
Last night, the council approved a bunch of spending on streets and sidewalks, including $4 million for this year's resurfacing projects. A couple notable streets on the hit list this year, Jefferson Street cutting right through downtown, Front Street downtown, Fairway and Regency, IAA Drive, just to name a few. Mayor, do you think the city is spending enough on streets at this point?
No, because I think that when we need $70 to $80 million to get to in good shape. And so we've got a long way to go. And now let's also be clear, the total amounts that you see on street resurfacing, you actually and sidewalk repairs and potholes and whatever would bring us somewhere around $10 million a year, which is a substantial sum, given that there were times where we spent nothing on street resurfacing. And that's part of the problem, is years of neglect have produced this. So at this point, I think that there's more that we can do. It's one of the reasons why I am in favor of a 4 penny a gallon gas tax that has to be used, no matter what, by Illinois law for street resurfacing related infrastructure problems. And so the answer to the question, getting back to it, is no. I think we can spend more. I think we can do more. This is good. What IDOT is doing, because IDOT owns a lot of our roads and it's their responsibility, is a good thing. They're finally stepping up to the plate a little bit. But we have so many problems with our streets.
Well, let's circle back to the local motor fuel tax issue you just raised. So this is something that Alderman talked about back in February, I think it was. And city staff had proposed raising the local motor fuel tax by 4 cents, which is basically doubling it to bring in more than $2 million in additional money for streets. Alderman seemed kind of cool to the idea at that point. Could that still happen, though, even by that same amount or less? Do you expect that to come back before the council here in the short term?
Yes. I mean, at some point, we're going to be considering our capital improvement projects in more detail, capital improvement plan, excuse me. And those capital improvement plans have to be funded. So if it's not a 4 cent a gallon gas tax, then what is it? Now, one of the advantages, I would say, of a 4 cent a gallon gas tax, I mean, I don't want to pay it any more than anybody else, is that 30% of it is paid by people who do not live in Bloomington, but they drive on our streets. And so I think that's one of the things. The other is it is based, except for those who own electric cars, on a kind of a usage sort of basis. So the more that you drive, the more that you'd pay. But at the end of the day, it has to be earmarked by state law. So no future councils can touch that money and put it into anything else. So for a variety of reasons, I do strongly favor that. And I, whether or not it's this summer or maybe it's next summer, maybe we have enough this summer. Maybe council decides not to act on it till later. And then, of course, a year from now, we'll have a new council. Maybe not everybody, of course, but there are 5 seats that are up. And so we'll see what happens at that point.
Well, speaking of big, expensive things, let's talk O'Neill Park pool. Last night, you got an update on work that's underway on the new parks master plan, essentially a roadmap for city parks for the next 15 years. Big part of that, though, is the aging O'Neill Park pool on Bloomington's west side. Badly needs renovation. What's your sense of where the council may go when it comes to that pool's future?
Well, my sense is the council will probably fix O'Neill Pool to make it a little better than it was. I favor it being an aquatic center. I think this is one of those times where you do make this a destination for the west side. Alderman Black last night said, when you look at the parks on the west side and the east side, there's no comparison. The McGraw Park, which is a wonderful park, is a Taj Mahal. Compared to the little huts that we have, the equivalent of that on the west side. So I think it's about time that we stepped up to the plate. The other thing is depending upon usage, it might come close to paying for itself. It's near interstates. If we get some additional traffic, if it's really not just a pool, it's actually an aquatic center, it might very well pay for itself. The other thing, though, that was a little puzzling to me last night, the first time I've heard about it, was the concept of having a central park, Ewing Park 1, 2, and 3. And so I'm kind of interested in what that means. My concept of parks and recreation in Bloomington has always meant that we, as much as possible, try to have neighborhood parks, things that are as accessible as possible. Maybe we just have one dog park that is centrally located, but I'm not quite sure what it means. This is not Midtown Manhattan. We don't have a central park. And so it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds as well.
In my understanding, is that actually came then from your consultant on this Greenplay. He mentioned, as I believe, this is sort of a trend in recreation to move toward municipal-centered parks. Is that basically what you heard last night?
Yes. And again, I'm not sure. We need to flesh that out to figure out exactly what that means. But mostly kids in Bloomington are used to walking to their local park. And I think that that's an important amenity that we have within our city. And we should that's, I think, what we should continue to pursue, unless there's something, as I say, like a dog park would be something quite specialized. I think the Ewing parks are quite suited for vast areas where people go sledding, and then maybe we have an area where dogs can go off the leash, and so we will see.
So going back to O'Neill Park Pool, you mentioned that if you do it the right way, it could become a destination even for people from out of town to come in and
Absolutely. Then
potentially pay for itself. So what does an aquatic center approach to renovating O'Neill Pool? What does that cost, something like that? What kind of cost are we talking about?
Well, somewhere around $10, $12 million. And again, it has been proposed that we float that over about 20 years. And if you do, that the interest rates are currently quite low. And that's what I mean by being able to potentially pay for itself. You're not going to get that $12 million in a year, but it's like buying your house. Your house is maybe amortized over 30 years, and you probably still have something valuable after 30 years, we hope, right? And so that's the same concept with respect to capital expenditures. If you don't invest in your community, if you don't invest in amenities, quality of life things, then it's going to be harder for you to make the case that you're a vibrant community for economic development. So I would love to have that as one of my bragging rights, if you will, as I'm searching and talking to people about what to do about downtown or about State Farm or about Eastland Mall. So we have lots of good things to talk about. I'd like to have even more. I mean, obviously, we've got Constitution Trail. We do have a great park system, but I'd like it to be even greater.
And what you're describing here, though, would that mean that you wouldn't need some alternative revenue source to pay the debt on these renovations? So you wouldn't need to do something like the utility tax increase or the video gaming licensing fee that you guys
you'd have to fund up front. It may turn out that it pays for itself. You can't count on that coming up for that. So I believe the figure was something like $19 a household if we raise property taxes, or if we raise utility taxes, that would more than pay off any note on O'Neill Park. And then it is putting it into an aquatic center. We're going to have to spend something anyway. We're going to have, even if we spend $5 million, I'd rather spend the $7 extra million, make it a destination, give the West Side something that it can be proud of, let the West Side understand that they are part of our community too, that we're giving them a jewel, not just the wealthy part of town, and given its location to interstates, to possibly be a destination for people from other communities or even Normal or other parts of Bloomington to come to this special aquatic center.
This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner recapping last night's city council meeting. Let's pivot and talk booze, specifically where you can buy it.
Recreation to booze.
I know.
Okay.
This is quite a fun-filled show. City council last night approved tinkering with liquor laws. This change essentially prevents convenience stores that sell alcohol from opening within 100 feet of schools, churches, also added daycares to this list of no-go zones. What do you think of the changes that were made last night?
Right. Well, again, just the churches and other things and schools were already in the code. What was added was daycare, and it was really aimed at a particular project, the Circle K project, that frankly we still have yet to receive an application for a liquor license for this facility. So it's a possible facility at the corner of GE Road and Hershey. The thing that I have difficulty with is changing our code for all places throughout the city because we don't want a particular project. We already have a liquor code that would allow us to stop a liquor license in an area where we feel that it could be harmful to the immediate neighborhood or to the local community. That is part of state law, and it's part of our ordinance. So that's the question, but that's a concern that I have over that. And so at this point, whether or not Circle K proceeds, I don't know. But that is land that's going to be used for something. We have the greatest control if somebody wants a liquor license. If somebody wanted to go in there and put in something else, we may have absolutely no control over it because it's zoned for, you know, for business. So I think the nicest thing, of course, I'm sure for residents would be for it to remain a vacant lot. It's not going to remain a vacant lot. And so I think those are some of the hard realities that we did have as part of our discussion last night, but the council did vote by 5-4 to change the zoning laws.
What is, I know you may not be a supporter of this necessarily, but what is sort of the logic of it? Have there been problems with alcohol and proximity to daycares that maybe sparked interest?
Not that I've
in
ever heard of, as I joked last night, and it was a joke, but it was meant to get at the broader theme, and that is, I've never heard of a 5-year-old coming out of a convenience store with a 12-pack of Bud. And the issue, I mean, it sounds bad, alcohol near daycare, right? But what would be more problematic would be having traffic patterns. We don't want the traffic patterns, let's say, from any business to be too close to a daycare center. The other would be we don't want people drinking, you know, and maybe having an environment that's problematic for a daycare. And that we can take care of under our existing licenses, powers. And that is specifically, we can say you can't serve single serves. You can't sell single serves. You have to sell 12 packs. Well, that doesn't mean that nobody ever is going to open up one of their 12 packs and start drinking it. But it's a very different culture if you have single serves. And so we have done that under many situations where we've had convenience stores that were near, for example, neighborhoods. And that tends to encourage people to hang around, and it encourages other behavior that the police have documented as well. The police also did note at the Liquor Commission meeting that there have never been any problems that they can find at any of the other Circle Ks. So I think Circle K has a very good reputation. And I don't know if something could have been done with how they would design their parking lot so that the traffic would only come in a different direction, maybe a couple hundred feet away from the daycare. I don't know if that was possible. But at this point, the property line to property line probably means that the Circle K is dead. And it was, as I say, by a 5-4 vote. You could have stopped Circle K without changing the ordinance, though, and that is my main issue.
Yeah, so go into that just one level deeper if you can. So are you talking about the city's liquor commission? You can actually, if somebody raises a neighborhood concern about a potential licensee, you can sort of stop it, or at least
yes, the neighborhood conditions and its impact on the neighborhood is one of the things that's part of Illinois law. It's also part of our ordinance. So the mayor is, in a sense, the liquor commissioner and cannot hire, nobody gets any money, but can appoint one or more people to help them. I have appointed two people to help me with that situation. So we currently have a liquor commissioner of myself and two others. And we could say, wow, all right, we've got daycare here. We've got neighbors who are opposed to it. It's a neighborhood operation, and we've done it before. We said no. No liquor license, and we're not even going to bring it to the council. Or even if the liquor commission did, we could bring it to the council with no recommendation to say, hey, you know, we've had some proponents, we've had some opponents. We're bringing this to you with no recommendation, and the council then can, at that point, kill it.
Is there a concern about potential unintended consequences on other future projects, even beyond the scope of Circle K? If you have a business that wants to come into property that just so happens to be near a daycare or one of these other types of facilities, do you think it could slow down other projects down the road?
It absolutely could. That's a great question. Ryan, you obviously do your homework and you're understanding some of the implications of economic development. And that's absolutely the case. So it may be that a restaurant or a grocery store that might want to locate, let's say, across from Meijer, which is not far from a church, or somebody else might want to, on the west side, open up a grocery store where they want to sell packaged liquor that might be next to or near within that 100 feet of some sort of daycare. So absolutely, there could be issues that are associated with that. That's what I mean when I say I'm uncomfortable with the one size fits all, a change in our ordinance to apply to the entire city of Bloomington, when the real goal, I think everybody knows, is to stop Circle K from locating at that particular location. Alderwoman Painter last night suggested that they go down the street, and they might decide to do that. I have no idea. But it was at that particular location that residents and Alderwoman Painter, and then ultimately, of course, it turns out a majority of the council said that they were willing to change the entire ordinance in order to prevent that business from going at that location.
This is GLT Sound Ideas. Mayor Renner, let's talk downtown Bloomington. Last week, aldermen met to discuss the Downtown Task Force report. We're going to talk about what actions, if any, the council will ultimately take to put those recommendations into action. What were your takeaways from that meeting last week and what it could mean short term for downtown?
Sure. And I think most of the discussion here was short term, not the any kind of anchor projects. But I think in terms of additional signage and additional parking for downtown, we're also last night we did, vote to refinance the Frontier lots finance the Frontier lots as opposed to just pay for it out of our reserves. So there are many movable parts in downtown, and I think we are making progress on some areas, in spite of the fact that State Farm is obviously abandoning its building and is going to be putting it up for sale, in spite of the fact we still have the Front and Center building. So we still have some challenges downtown, to say the least, but I was optimistic that there was lots of what you might call low or fairly low-lying fruit that we can continue to move forward on to make our cultural historic core downtown an even more exciting place to live, work, and play.
Well, what are you hearing on the State Farm building? Has there been any interest that's trickled down to the city at this point?
Oh, absolutely. I had people calling me the day after. The difficulty is, of course, it's a little different than some other things. It is they need to buy the property from State Farm first. Okay, we do not own it. So we need to see something tangible, and then we could even do hypotheticals. But you got to have some sort of clear business plan, pro forma. Tell us what you're thinking. What is your financial gap? And let's be clear: we don't give any money that we currently have. So any project would have to pay for itself. So let's say if it was retail, and we might say, all right, you buy this building, you retrofit it, you take the risks, you spend whatever, $12 million, $10 million on the building, and you spend $3 million renovating it, and we will give you our share of the sales taxes for 8 years or 10 years or 7 years or whatever it might be as part of the incentive package. So that's money that we're not getting now. We are not getting any sales taxes on the State Farm building, right? There are other areas like a TIF district, former Electrolux site. We are getting no property taxes on that site now. Nobody is, right? It's all tax-exempt property. So anything that would go on that site would generate new revenue.
And as you mentioned, State Farm is a different case because it does have an active owner who is marketing.
It does have
property.
An active owner, right.
There are other properties downtown, though, that have been vacant for a much longer time. And the Front and Center building you've already mentioned is an example for years. It's just been sort of sitting there. Does the city have any real options when it comes to eminent domain with
Absolutely.
Commercial vacancies like that?
Absolutely.
What are those options?
It takes a long time, and it's costly legally, but that is one of the things that we're going to be talking about this summer is is how quickly and decisively do we move in terms of eminent domain on from the front and center building. And the Huffs may let it sit there and rot, and technically it does not violate any of our codes externally right now, in terms of broken windows or whatever, but that doesn't mean that we can't go forward. If there ever was a case for eminent domain, the front and center building ought to be a poster child for moving forward with that.
Just south of downtown is the YMCA, and I'll let you out here on this. Earlier this month, the YMCA Bloomington Normal announced plans to move eastward to a new building that they'd share on OSF's campus with Easter Seals, that in near Veterans Parkway there. What'd you think of that announcement and that move eastward?
I've known about this for a couple of years, so I've known that it's been in the works, and I knew certainly well over a year ago that it was a virtual certainty. I think it could potentially help Eastland Mall and the revitalization of Eastland Mall. I wish they would also stay at their current location. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's not possible. One of the things that was discussed is possible privatization of some parts of our recreation in our recreation plan. And I'd like to, and I have talked many times with the Y about keeping their current facility open, but having us contract with them to make it financially feasible for them to keep their current location open, since we do not have the equivalent of a rec center in Bloomington or in Normal.
I've heard that building's in pretty bad shape, though. Do you think it has a future?
The building itself actually is, it's not attractive, but it is a solid building, right? So it may not be the prettiest, but it does have a pool, and it does have an ability to play basketball. It does have it's a recreation complex. So without major investments, it would be interesting to see whether or not we could work out a relationship with the Y so that we could have another center of neighborhood recreation within our city.
That's Terry Renner, the mayor of Bloomington. Thanks for coming in today, Terry.
Thank you, Ryan. Take care.
I'm Ryan Denham.
And I'm Mike McCurdy. The mayors of Bloomington Normal stop by GLT's Sound Ideas following their regular and special council meetings next week. You'll hear from city manager Pam Reese. It's Sound Ideas.